Thank you. I want to start out by saying I'm more of an ecologist and behaviorist rather than someone who does ultrastructure and this type of morphology. I do some functional morphology, but that's using a scanning electron microscope. But sometimes you have to branch out and solve a problem that no one else is going to. And years ago, I work on mainly mites that live in plant-held waters and things like this, called phytotaumata. And the algophagid mites, which I was studying at the time, have this strange structure between the first and second pair of legs. And you can see it there on this one, and on this one it gets quite large. And I think it was Fain and Johnston postulated from algophagid mite from rivers that these were flotation devices. Well, my mites never floated. This one lives in subflux, doesn't even have any way of floating. So I thought the only way of finding out what they might be is to do some section. So I all of a sudden became an electron microscopist looking at transmission electron microscopy. And the end result was these turned out to be osmoregulatory organs. Now, they have vestigial genital papillae. And genital papillae in the prostigmatid mites and stuff, Gerda Birdi had found they were osmoregulatory organs. So I thought I better look at some of those to see if that's what they do in the astigmata too. And this is an acarid mite with finger-like genital papillae. Here's a histiostomatid mite with those circular ones on the bottom. And they too turned out to be the same thing, osmoregulatory organs. So this is just a preamble to what I'm going to talk about now. In doing these things, I came across structures like this. You could see these indentations along the side. They were just a byproduct of doing the other work. And this is from the acarids. This is from histiostomatids. You could see a nerve coming up here into them, other ones here. And of course, these are what we call cupules in astigmatid mites. There are Lyra fissures to Hans and to people saying those, slit sensella by some people. And I thought, well, they must be well known. Everybody says they're stress receptors, stretch receptors, those types of things. Well, this is based mainly on studies on spiders. They've never done much with these. I didn't know that at the time, but Gerard Alberti later on in 1998 published this on orbatids. The slit organs and cupules are not yet been studied adequately, merely known they're innervated. That's it. I show that in those two pictures I have. So I thought, well, someday I'm going to work on this just to see what they are. And I put them aside, and that day came last year when they decided they were going to close down our electron microscope facility because it's not modern biology anymore, of course. You got to use things like other types of microscopy. You got to be doing molecular work or you're not a modern biologist. So I decided I better do this before the thing is gone. This is the study done by Alberti, and all he mainly showed in there was an external appearance of one on the orbatids, one section here with a nerve coming in, and then this is the inside of an exuvium of one of the immatures showing what you might see as an indentation. Not much on them. If you go back to what was done on the what were called Lyra fissures by Cohn and his workers in Washington, you see this outside structure. Here you could see a couple of them here, and this is what he showed. They didn't find nerves going to them, so maybe they didn't have them. So what I did was look at these, and we call them cupules because you'll see they look like little cups, and so we tend to call them that. And they are four pairs. We don't have all those ones that Hans just showed you. You see cupuli A, cupuli M, cupuli P, and back here IH. Four pairs of these. And to study these, I picked an algophagid mainly because I wanted a twofer. You know, you get two for the price of one. And you could look at these and look at them, but also I could look at some more at the same section and look at the axillary organs to see if they verified the other two I'd found. So I picked this one to study. And here are the four of them. Oh, excuse me. Go back. Here are the four of them on here. You could see IA, IM, IP, and IH here on them. On the sides of this female. This shows one blowing up here, and just to be a modern biologist, since molecular people use confocal, I went in and did that. Here's what it looks like as you go sectioning from the top on down, and you can see it starting to form a little cup here, and you see these extensions coming out here, and then as you get down to the bottom of it, it disappears. That up there is a ceta. So this is what it would look like as you section on through. And you see it's kind of eye-shaped. And you can see that down here too because of those extensions coming out. And it's a circular cup-like structure about 3 micrometers in diameter, and then about an extension of about 1 micrometer each way for a total of 5 micrometers, relatively small. And this is a longitudinal section coming in this direction through it, and you can see what it would look like. It's about 2.5 or so micrometers in depth, and here's a cross-section of it. So what I did was I did cross-sectional cuts of 3 individuals. I had 3 cupules, about a cupule each, like IP, the 2 end ones. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. This mite is 500 micrometers long, and those things are only, say, 3 or so. So you've got a section, and when you're doing thin sections, it takes a lot of time to get there, so that's all the farther I got going forward with this. But going on a horizontal section like this, you could catch more of them at a time. And so with this one, I ended up with 2 cupules, IA, 2 IM, 2 IP, 2 IH, and they're all very similar in morphology. This shows the one by Penniman and Cohn, and you can see here the one we had is relatively similar. Now, to look at the structure of them, what you see is a modified cuticle. A cuticle coming down, bending around underneath, and you can see it covers the top, which is generally called a cover membrane on these things. And then you see some dense electron material here, electron-dense material. This one, it extends, that's an eye-like shape going to it, and going forward, although this was a section where you didn't see it all the way forward. You can also see some thick dorsal fibers here that run more cross-sectionally on the longitudinal axis of the body. You can see across here. This would be a section in the other direction. And if you look at it, you can also see some thin ventral fibers down here. So quite an interesting structure. And where the nerve comes in the center, here it is here. Cross-section, a nerve is coming in, extending forward. You can see the dendritic sheath and a tubular body. We talk about them being stretch receptors and things. Well, this verifies it, because by definition of people doing electron microscopy and studies on mechanoreceptors in insects, other arthropods, if it has a tubular body, it's a mechanoreceptor. And that's what this is. And there you'll see lots of little microtubules running in this. You see this electron-dense material down at the bottom where it enters. And you can see it from a sectional side view here. I think that's probably to plug the entrance hole there for whatever is in here. And I have no idea what is in there. But there is a vacuole-like structure at the top that's right at the top of this this tubular body. And I have no idea whether it's filled with fluid or not. There's no way to tell that. But it looks sort of vacuole-like, as I said. And what it looks like are those fiber-like structures are coming down and forming part of it here. And you can see here. If you look at the body coming in, the nerve coming in, you can see it kind of extends out and looks like it forms part of it too. So you can see as you go through the different cupules how it extends up into this. So there's this kind of either a hole in there, you could say, or a fluid-filled piece. And if we do a section looking from before this tubular body comes in and passes, so this would be just in front of the tubular body. You can follow it this way. And you can follow it here, and you'll see the nerve starting to come up, comes through. Here it's joining that vacuolar-like structure, becoming intimately associated with it. You're getting past the dendrite coming in now, and here you're past the further, and on back, on through. So you can see this does not come up, this tubular body, and attach to the dorsal cover, to this cover plate. If you look at a cross-section through various levels, you can see at this level here what it would look like, this level, and on down to the center. And the same longitudinal section if you look back through sections toward the end here and on down through, you'll see, get to piece this together in this way. If you look at other things that have been studied, not a lot have been done on most mites, but people have studied these on ticks, but on the legs, and they call them slit sensilla there. And you could see it on the, here's the dendrite coming in, the receptor canal it says with it, in the tubular body, and it connects to the cover membrane, directly to the cover membrane. If you look at the work of Barth, he's done a whole lot, and he's the one to determine these were, these types of things are, Lyra Fisher type things are actually mechanoreceptors and pick up stress. He has 2 nerves coming in. You say, I only had one, and ticks only had one. But 2 come in, and one attaches to the bottom of that inner membrane, down by the bottom of that, what I would have called the bottom of the cup. And here, another one to the top. This one is quite different yet. It does not attach to the top, but it has a vacuole-like structure here, and these fibers coming around. This is tubular bodies intimately in a part of this, as are these fibers. And what I think happens is as the cuticle is distorted, it causes distortion in this cover membrane plate here, which in turn translates this to the fibers, which in turn compresses or does something to this vacuole-like structure and then depolarizes the nerve here. Whether this is true in all aesthetics and all of the types of mites, we don't know. Past studies have to be done, but no one's done much on these yet, which I was surprised. I also, real fast, looked at, since they were there, looked at no pore sensilla, just regular mechanoreceptor type sensilla. The ones with pores are generally for picking up odors or taste, and in the three different species, and it's very typical. It has two nerves coming in with two tubular bodies, and you see the structures here are very similar to all the others and other arthropods as well as other mites, and here you can see the two nerves coming in with the bodies here. So it's this was just a sidelight. As far as the axillary organs, it just verified that they're different in size in the different ones here, but that they're similar, very similar in structure, and these two are osmoregulatory organs. This just adds a third one, as I said, as a twofer or a bonus for looking at that another species of algophagid. You see a lot of variation in the size of them and things. Why that is, I don't know. But that's where I'll stop then. We'll go from there.